When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
It's all going down today. Finally, we get the NFL schedule. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We also start off the day with a very special guest. And, of course, Mike and I will dive into this Braves team that continues to impress us all. Another victory last night, 4-1 over the Cubs. They improved to 30-13, first time since 2003, guys, with that record. So we will dive into that as they finish up this series with the Cubs. But Mike, as we get the show started today, one Atlanta icon in studio with us, Jermaine Dupri. And JD, man, hey. It's good to see you, brother. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. You know what? Last time we saw you and we had you in studio, we talked to T.I. about this. You, Young Dro, stopped by to talk about the Magic City doc, which was great, by the way.
Yes.
And ironically, you're back in today, and you walked in, and I said, man, what an honor and a privilege it is to have something like this happen with you involved and the Braves, because the Braves are hot.
Yeah.
You actually are going to throw a block party? Is this right? What's talk to me about? What's going on with this?
I mean, you know, I think that the park is beautiful. The whole area of the park, you know, I actually go there a lot and eat.
Right.
And going to the games.
Right.
It's just like I saw, you know, matter of fact, I saw T.I. performing outside at the Braves game. And they have a stage out there. They have the yard.
Right.
They have everything out there that seems and screams to me, Jermaine, throw a block party. first of all, let me just say this. I'm getting a bobblehead
right
at the Braves Stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm from College Park.
Mm.
Way down at the end of Old National Highway.
We're familiar with it.
I never thought in my wildest dreams that this could possibly happen. I grew up never being able to go to Braves games, you know, just as a person that represents that life of just like not having the money or resources to even actually go to a game,
right,
and then to see that this could possibly happen. It's like, you know, this is big for me. It's not something that's just like, I'm just like, oh, we doing it just for the hometown. This is really like, I hope that all young entrepreneurs, all young producers, all young artists in Atlanta, tastemakers, everybody, I hope that you all are paying attention to this because it can be done, right? But it take a lot of work and it take a lot of, you know, whatever it is that I've been doing, it takes a lot of that, right? And then to see, like, you know, I know Usher has one.
Mm-hmm.
I know Outkast has one.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? And that's it.
That's it, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm in an elite crew.
Yes.
Of, you know, it ain't even a lot of us in the city that's got it.
Right.
And for me to just be a part of that, it's just amazing to me.
It's July 22nd, by the way, guys. Jermaine Dupri, as you mentioned, is going to be doing the pregame block party. First 15,000 folks through the gate.
Yes.
Get the have you seen the bobblehead? Are you happy with the representation?
Yes.
That's good.
I mean, it was a bunch of changes that I wanted.
Right.
That we couldn't really like bring to life the way that I wanted them because I always got my glasses on, so I was just making sure that the glasses. But I'm happy with it.
Good,
I mean,
good.
You know, yeah.
No, because when we do animations for us, Carl looks like Carl, and I look like the bad guy from the Black Panther. So, no, I just want to make sure the man was happy with his likeness.
It's a cool thing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome.
And Jermaine Dupri is in studio with this, guys. And look, Jermaine and I and Mike were just having a conversation. I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm not overblowing this. I don't know, babyface maybe,
right,
being real right now, if anybody's had a bigger influence with the growth of the culture and music in our city than this man. And we were just having a conversation, and I want to kind of rehash that because we were talking about the Braves and the Hawks. And, you know, he asked Mike and I, what'd you guys think about the loss? And, of course, we're like, oh!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something else here, and you were just talking about it. I want you to expound on what we were kind of having a conversation about the fact that we do have a lot of transplants. You were talking about the Knicks fans, you know, being at State Farm Arena. But the interaction with the community and the culture, but more importantly, sports and how it's all connected.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, not just sports, right? I'm going to take Atlanta as a whole, right? One of the things I noticed in my younger age, or my younger years, that I started noticing that, okay, Atlanta was showing up a lot, right? It was a lot of things that used to happen in the city where you would go and you would see a bunch of people that became celebrities or became superstars. As time has gone, that energy has kind of like
dissipated,
okay. Right? And as the sports teams in this city try to catch up with the culture, because they've been behind for the longest, right? As they try to catch up with where the culture of hip hop and music and,
right,
you know, Tyler Perry, just everything that's in this city, entertainment period, it seems like the lack of Atlanta is in the space where it should be. It shouldn't have been that many Knicks fans at that last game. I mean, first of all, if they want to pay to go, that's great, right? No disrespect to that. But at the same time, it didn't seem like it was that many Hawks fans to fight it, right? And I feel like the fans, you know, the fans push these guys, right? I feel like even like these, like y'all with the sports shows and all of this, I think that, you know, I saw once they lost, you know, all of the sports shows in Atlanta was basically killing the Hawks. But I feel like, you know, just like how when Stephen A. is on ESPN, mm-hmm. he's talking so much trash about the Knicks getting to where they need to be, right? And to me, that's just as the same as like artist development with an artist. You saying this, creative criticism actually helps
yes.
the team.
Yeah, it right? does. It does.
So the bashing in sports, you're supposed to take that and pay attention to it. You're not supposed to take it and just be like, ah, whatever, whatever. You're supposed right. to take it and pay attention to it. And I just feel like I didn't feel like the Hawks paid attention to what we were saying or what people were saying in the heat of this moment. Right. And it was just like, it was very, very like, you could look and see like, wait a minute, wait, are you guys paying it? Like, time out. Hold on. Call two timeouts back
right.
to back. Like,
right.
We can't let this game get like this. Right. But I just say like, I say the same thing about entertainment. Last night, T.I., shout out to T.I., he had the 20th anniversary of ATL. He rented out the stadium, mm-hmm. the Mercedes-Benz,
mm-hmm. right.
put a skating rink in the front of this place, had the inside, you know, he turned the whole place into a big skating rink
right.
to relive the ATL movie and all of this, right? He had all the stars from ATL. He actually was shooting a new video out in the front. Mm-hmm. I didn't see 30% of the celebrity people that's in Atlanta
to come out
at that event last night.
Got you. Okay.
And I feel like that's we're seeing this not only in entertainment, it feels like we're seeing it in, you know, with the sports and everything. I think we got to get that. So that's right. you know, and I'm you know, little plug, I think that's what I'm trying to do with this block party.
Right.
Is get everybody energy
okay.
and bring everybody. Let's get back outside. Let's support the number one team in baseball right now, mm-hmm. which is the Atlanta Braves. And let's have a good time.
Right on. Jermaine Dupri is live in studio with us. What else you got cooking, man? You got any other projects going?
I got a lot of secret projects I can't speak about. I usually don't have those, but I got some secret projects.
Okay, wait. What would that entail? Would that entail like a movie soundtrack where you can't talk about it or something of that nature when you say
a collaboration with another major artist?
No. All
right. It would I just can't.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just you know, it's big. You know, what I mean, it's just right. big. It's keeping me busy. But I mean, I'm working on, you know, a pretty much a little bit of everything here and there. I mean, I've been in the studio with Kelly Rowland. I've been in the studio with
Kelly. Got some new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Love Kelly.
I've been in the studio with Benny the Butcher. I've been in the studio every day. But right. Yeah, I'm, you know, in the midst of just like,
okay,
so the summer is trying to heat the summer.
Mike, okay. Let me ask you, I mean, JD, let me ask you this, because this is, you know, something for Mike and I, and we talk about this, and like people always talk about, you have a dream job. You've created it, but you have right. a dream job.
Yes.
You get up, you get to go in the studio, you get to hear, listen, and work with all these amazing artists. Mike and I get this all like, you guys got a dream job. We get to come in, we talk about sports.
Stealing money.
Right, and talk yeah. about our teams and all this stuff. But there are some days I don't want to talk about sports.
Yeah.
I want to just be at the beach chilling. And, somebody rolls up and they're like, I can't believe this. And you're like, no, I don't want to. Is there days for you like that where, look, man, I've been in this damn studio mm-hmm. all my life. I don't want to hear any more beats. I don't want to, you know. Do those days happen to Jermaine Dupri?
Nah, because I don't get to the beach unless I stay in the studio. I really understand that. What I'm trying to do as a person, as a producer, as an entrepreneur, as anything, I'm trying to change the narrative, because when you get to be a certain age in hip hop, they start aging you out.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now you're on the oldie station.
Huh? Yeah. They start aging you out. Right. You don't get to have a bobblehead. And you don't get to throw a block party. Right. The normal people that came before me, they weren't doing this, right, at the age that I am. And, you know, to be able to continue, I know that it's a blessing, and I know that I don't think that's God's plan for me to slow down. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have put me in this space, and he wouldn't continue to keep blessing me with things. So I got to keep showing that I understand what's written. That's already written, that he wrote for me to be and do what I got to do. I love it. I mean, long as I can challenge myself. If I'm in there doing the same thing, then I probably would be like, yeah. But I know every artist is different. And every time I go in the studio, it's a challenge to try to find something for that artist.
Right. Jermaine Dupri is with us, guys. July 22nd is the bobblehead night and the street block party. And you have 15,000 first, so it'll be lined up basically in the battery to get your bobblehead.
Yeah, and it's not to cut you off. It's not. Yeah. I mean, I'm DJing too. I'm gonna be out there DJing. I'm gonna make this real. I know people. A lot of times they hear this.
It's true.
They hear this.
He ain't gonna be there.
Hear this talk like, you know, he doing this, and this is gonna be a real thing.
Right.
So you get out there, come with your mind right to have fun. I'm gonna have Cafe So Deaf Cafe out there serving. I'm vegan, so I'm gonna have, you know, vegan section for a lot here. That's too. A lot of people go to these games that want to eat healthy and they don't have the right type of food for us in these places. So that day, if you're vegan, if you're vegetarian, if you want to be healthy and watch the Braves play, come to the game. July 22nd.
Meant to ask you last time you were in. Do you just own the So Deaf billboard, or do you still have to rent that billboard?
No, that's a new one, actually, where I'm at right now. So I moved it. Well, the one that it used to be, somebody took it, and they would never let me get it back.
They didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah, they took it, and they would never let me get it back. and then the mayor, basically, they told me about this new spot. And at first, I was like, that don't look right. It don't look the same. But when you come into the city,
you see
the first thing that you see when you hit the corridor right there where the stadium is. So it's a perfect spot. And, you know, I've been trying to just, like, hold it and keep it until the city realizes this is something that goes with the city.
This is not just Jermaine Dupri
billboard. This is something that people recognize as something that's part of Atlanta. So hopefully one day, you know, after I spend $1 million on keeping a billboard, they'll recognize and turn this into a landmark.
Right. You hadn't already done that? That thing's been down there forever.
You would think, right?
Right.
It's been down there forever.
Yeah, I think they're waiting on me to spend $1 million.
Best thing you ever did, real talk, because of what it did and the notoriety. You said it, strangers flying in. We got World Cup coming, right?
Yes.
There are going to be people
all
over the world who come in and go,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That did so much.
Yeah.
Just that billboard.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It says Atlanta, and that's the reason why I put it up. I had so many people telling me, why did you take the billboard down when I used to see the billboard? I felt like I was really in Atlanta.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, all right. You know, I'm going to go do this and try to find the money every month to pay for this billboard.
This dude.
But you know, like I said, hopefully, I pray somewhere down the road, that this has turned into a landmark.
Right. And by the way, we're talking landmarks because last time we were in here, we were talking about the project, about Magic City. I thought it was so cool how the Hawks embraced it. They are so Atlanta-centric. And of course, the NBA said, can't do that.
Yes.
But it was, I thought it was so cool because people in Atlanta get it about the culture. There's more to it than just, you know, the club itself. It's the vibe. But it, unfortunately, the NBA squashed it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really. That's another thing. I think that we have to stand up for our culture. Right. It was a lot of people in the city also
right.
that was downplaying this as if it was something that was bad. Right. And I can say this. If you're talking about what happens in the club and this, that, and the third, then so be it. But the reason why I did the documentary was that Magic created a space that's been going for 40 years.
Incredible.
And I think this year makes 41 years, mm-hmm. and it's probably more famous than it's ever been
right.
in its 41 years.
Globally,
right?
Yeah.
That's hard for any black man to create a black-owned establishment to stay running for 40 plus years, right? And God willing, he'll be here for 50, 60, 70. And I just think that's what I was representing with the documentary, and that's what I wanted people to see.
Right.
In our city, we have cultural things that really, because I don't think I think people get the word culture twisted, right? Because you was talking about
yes.
the post that I put up where the guys was talking about me. I don't think they understand culture, and the name of their show is something culture, but I don't think they understand culture. I am probably the most Atlanta person in hip hop in this city. And really why I say this is because when I was a kid, I used to go swimming at Manny Jackson's house. Like, I don't know a bunch of people who can even say this.
Right.
Like, I used to be around Manny Jackson and didn't even realize who the hell he was because I was young. Right.
Right.
I grew up in that space. And then I just happened to be in the mix of like damn near everything that's happened in this city when it came to the entertainment of the city. And it all happened in different places, right? It all happened where I can say I have a connection to this person. I grew up with Sleepy Brown from Organized Noise. We was kids. We didn't even know. You know what I mean? I stayed in an apartment building, and my next door neighbor was Andre 3000, right? It was like, these are things that are like, you know, I'm from College Park, me and Dallas Austin. Basically, it's like so many things that's Atlanta about me and my story. I don't think people understand that's what culture means, right? And we have to celebrate the culture. We got to stop trying to, like, pinpoint it because, like I said, Magic City, it sounds like a club. Cool. But let's talk about the man himself that basically has created a place in Atlanta, a home in Atlanta that people from out of town come to. Like you said, FIFA. How many people y'all think from right. FIFA's not right. going in there?
Right.
Like, dude, what are we talking about?
When Atlanta United won the title, they took the cup into Magic
City.
That's what
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not here to talk about. I understand. If it's basketball, you thought that's what you was going to see. I don't think they understood that we was representing the man. And the actual wife of the Hawks owner.
That's right.
Was executive producer on the Magic City documentary. Right. Right. So it was a lot, like I said, it's the connections here and people just gotta understand it. We're not just this country town that got, you know, lucky in entertainment.
Right,
it's minds and it's time and it's cultural dynamics that have turned the city into what it is.
We got to roll, but I got to ask you this, because this is the cool thing about, I think, people who have moved here and experienced this at different times. Mike and I talk about the early 2000s, even the late 90s. You get into the mid 2000s, and there were all these different things going on, but at its height, right? And I don't know if we get back there, JD. I mean, seriously, with all the artists that have come out, we still have a bunch of new artists that are coming. But at its height,
yeah.
For you, I mean, what was that mark? Because there's been so many moments in Atlanta where you go, man, and that's what brought people here.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, I feel like it's the same thing I'm saying about sports. Atlanta was a city that fed off of everybody else, right? As I was in, you know, College Park doing what I was doing, Dallas moved to the north side, and he was in Doppler, and he created Darp Studios over here on north side.
Right.
The energy of each person pushed each person. And for some reason, that has gone up out of the city. It left the city as far as, like, people going and supporting one another. And I think, like I said, I also feel like it's events like this block party. It's things that...
getting people back out.
Yeah, I don't think people present things the way we used to. It's a lot of craziness in the city, so I feel like, you know, it's a different place. But we have to, you know, we have to understand that, yes, it's an entertainment world here that should be paid attention to a certain type of way, right? And that's the only thing I will say about New York. Like, if you watch the Knicks games, when they have Fat Joe, Jadakiss, and these guys sitting in these seats, these are seats that the Knicks have deemed for
New York. That's right.
Celebrities to bring that attention.
Right.
I don't know that the Hawks have even paid attention to that. And like, okay, we got to, you know, and cool, y'all want us to pay for the tickets. I'm not asking for free tickets like that, but I'm just saying, understand what these people sitting right here actually mean for the city, the team, the game, everything. Right. It's all goes together. It's not like, well, dang, y'all don't want to pay, so I'm going to just put, you know, these two guys from corporate America right here. Cool. All right,
it's
cool.
It's not the same vibe.
I wish Spike Lee was sitting in the 300 section, but unfortunately,
Jermaine Dupri, July 22nd, first 15,000 folks get bobbleheads. He will be DJing. It's a block party. It's the Braves.
I'm bringing some of my friends, too. There's going to be some performances. We're going to have a good time.
All right, put it down on your calendar. Man, it's always good to talk with you, brother.
Same here.
Continued success.
Thank you.
Right. And by the way, he said earlier, Mike, he's like, man, I've been working. I'm like, what is working for JD? What are you talking about?
I've been working.
Keep doing it, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We're coming back, guys. There is no unselfish player on this team. It's why they are where they are. And last night, another example of, did he just come through again? It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Jermaine Dupri for stopping by here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Speaking of soccer, he was talking about the World Cup coming. It is the biggest year ever for soccer in Atlanta. So be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight, guys. He's got you covered with Atlanta United News, the international scene as well. And it's brought to you by Ford. You visit your local Ford dealer Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's available the next day on the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. Mike, look, these Braves, man. Last night was impressive only because, again, you had guys and heroes of the game that we continue to talk about. Like, Dubon can hit because he's coming up big, it seems like, every single time. He was 0 for 3 when he got that big two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth, and you're like, oh, I can't believe this. Baldwin continues to rake. I'm trying to find something, like we talked about yesterday with our audience about, you know, where do you rate this team? And it was funny because Grant was like, all right, if you want to nitpick, 9, but it's a 10 right now.
No. I mean, to me, it's just it's where, you know, we thought we'd be, you know, maybe, you know, by July.
Yes.
We'd be in a position where, okay, it looks like we're going to win this division. I didn't think we'd be 10 games over the Phillies and the Mets would be dead in the water. You know, here we are, you know, getting towards Memorial Day. I mean, this team is dialed in. Last night was a lot of fun, and I don't know what you thought about the Braves. I mean, we talked about the pitcher Imanaga.
Their pitcher, yes.
I butchered that name today on the podcast that was streaming earlier. But no, he was dialed in. That sinker was unhittable. The only guy that really had any traction earlier was Drake Baldwin, and the pitcher's reaction was great because he's like, "How the hell did he hit that?" He basically went down like inches off the dirt and took it out there. But and then later on, as you said, Dubon, and once you got to their bullpen, that was huge. And the Braves bullpen stepped up because, you know, once again, two nights in a row, Grant Holmes and J.R. Richie, pitch count gets up or other extenuating circumstances, you got to lean in the bullpen response.
It was big, man. Let's hear from Walt Weiss talking about the win over the Cubs last night.
It was huge. Anytime these guys have done that, it's given us some breathing room, gives our back end guys some time off. You know, didn't have to use Suarez last night because of that, because of Didi. And it's been an unconventional bullpen at times with the starters and swing men down there. I mean, Martin did a great job. Weren't necessarily planning on using him, but then, you know, we need somebody to put down the sixth, and there's our Swiss Army knife, you know, and Martin. So those guys have done an unbelievable job, and the back end guys have been virtually flawless. But I thought Richie did a nice job. Just a lot of deep counts, a lot of three ball counts, and so the pitch pitch count, got elevated, but did an outstanding job keeping him off the board. And he got charged for one run, but that's a great job. You always like to go a little deeper, but he was very effective. And we got enough bullpen that we can cover that stuff, you know, most of the time.
Guy hit me up earlier. He goes, "Man, you're kind of hard on Yastrzemski." I said, "No, there's limits with Yastrzemski. He can hit right-handers all day. He just can't hit lefties." And he came up big last night.
He did. Once again, it was almost like you're going to do this back-to-back nights? Right. Let's hear Walt Weiss, our manager, talk about Dubon, man, because, it's never been the glove. They got him because of the glove. They right. knew they weren't going to be taking a hit when it came to his defensive prowess. It was always, well, if he can hit a little bit. He's hitting a lot.
I don't think so. You know, some guys just have a knack for fine-tuning their focus in those big spots. There's some guys, I think they get caught up in the emotions of that moment and they get away from themselves. There's certain guys that just take all that, you know, that adrenaline and nervous energy and use it to focus. I think Doobie's one of those guys.
Yeah, man. It's Dukes and Bell tonight, Mike. It's Chris Sale. You know he's not going to ease
no,
up.
No, but imagine if I told you take 5 out of 6 from the Dodgers and Cubs. You know, man. A week ago? I mean, giddy up.
It's
like
big.
I said, and it's funny, we actually could have done a show within the show. We actually had like 5 minutes with Jermaine Dupri before the show started, and we were talking about, all, you know, he's like, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, they're doing it without Acuna. Riley just finally got it in gear." I go, "The things are bright, and now you'll have the wherewithal from management to go get some more guys at the deadline." So
yeah.
It's good.
It is. Sale 6-2 with a 2.20 ERA. Let me hear Dubon, since he was one of the heroes last night, about you know, not caring where he plays in the field. I said there are no unselfish players on this team. It's one of the reasons why they've been successful.
I told Walt, as long as he lets me hit, I don't care where I play. I mean, from 1 to 9, I don't care. I mean, it is what it is. Like I say, like, you know, I've been making a good career out of it and just coming out here and, like, help the team win offensively.
Put him in left. You know, if Kim, there you go. I like it. I mean, it's crazy, guys. And we've said this a million times, though. The Astros, just for whatever reason, just felt that he was $6 million too much to keep on the roster. And the Braves took advantage.
All right, guys, coming up, week 1 of the NFL, where the Falcons and more leaks as we get ready for the schedule drop. It's Dukes and Bell.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what's interesting. Who's going to be the quarterback in week 1 for the team that we allegedly are going to be playing? Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers or is it going to be someone else? Because, Mike, reportedly the Falcons are going to open the season at the Steelers week 1. Now, I'll tell you guys this.
Little secret.
You're going to follow all of your favorite football insiders because you're waiting. And you're not going to get anything from them. Because the NFL has told them you are not allowed to drop any of this. So if you're waiting for somebody, a lot of these leaks are coming from other places. They're not coming from your favorite NFL folks, okay? Because, again, the NFL is providing them with that info. With that said, Mike, I think as we wait around, and maybe we'll know more, hopefully before 6 o'clock, but it's interesting. We know we have a tough schedule. I think it's a tough schedule. When you look at the teams, Mike and I were talking about the home schedule. We're like, whoa. Yeah. I don't know if we've had a home schedule like this in a while.
Yeah, man. You're playing some really good teams. You're playing some playoff caliber teams, heritage teams. You know, and it just, as a fan, I mean, now I'm like, okay, it's the perfect time. I went to the Pittsburgh Falcons preseason game in 17, the year after we blew the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 51. Mm-hmm. My wife went to Pitt, and she's from Central PA. So I went up there. We had a blast. The weather was great. I told my wife, I go, at the time there was an opening up there. I said, I'd work in Pittsburgh. She's like, no, you wouldn't. Not in the winter. I'm like, okay. In the summer, in the Indian summer, as it used to be called, that's going to be a blast for Falcon fans when they make the trip up to Pittsburgh.
I agree. And it's a perfect time. To Mike's point, it's not the December weather, or January.
Now, it was a preseason game. I'm not sure how friendly Steelers fans will be in a regular season game, but all they wanted to do was talk about how did you blow it to the Patriots. They hated the Patriots, all those playoff games that they used to have with New England. But, no, and there's a giant casino across the way, the hotels. You walk across the Clemente Bridge around the end. It's perfect. So I recommend booking early if that is the case, and we're hearing it's the first week.
And it's easy to get around.
Yep.
You can stay downtown and take the train right to the stadium, PNC Park, been there numerous times. Mike, we went up a couple of years ago. I was doing a documentary when the Cowboys played the Steelers, and they hadn't played each other in years. I won't tell you it was half Cowboy fans, but it was a lot.
Right.
And the Steeler fans and the Cowboy fans were not fighting. It was a lot of good, natural trash talking. But, you know, there was none of that. To Mike's point about they are fans and they love their team, but they're not Philly. So
right.
If you're going to make plans to go.
You could argue that, you know, they changed names from Heinz Field. Of course, it really wasn't the same ever since Bane blew up the field and nearly killed Heinz Ward. And what? Warren, it would happen. Heinz Ward was running for his life. What? I'm just saying. He blew up the field. Bane did.
That was in a movie.
Please, don't ruin this for me.
Week one, that is what the rumor is. Week two, allegedly, Carolina on the road. And that means we're starting on the road 2 weeks in a row. And then, you know, we'll see, guys. Again, all of this is speculation. The only thing that's not speculation right now is the Spain game. And that was announced.
Right.
By the league.
November 9th.
Correct.
November 8th, week nine.
Week nine. And we now know that. But stuff is, you know, are you going to get the Commanders on? We know what the road teams are. What about the dates? So as soon as we know more, we will definitely dive in to all of that. Mike, last night, NBA playoff action. Look.
Oof.
Cavs come back and win. They take a 3-2 series lead. Harden hit some big, big free throws, to be honest with you, late. Yeah. Kate Cunningham did everything he could, Mike, to win this game.
Duren missing in action. Day-Day pointed out today on our podcast, missing for the series. So Jalen Duren has not been, he's supposed to be the number two behind Kate Cunningham. He's been missing. If you look at the box score, it wasn't like Harden was launching threes. It was all about 14 trips to the free throw line and making 11 free throws. But I said to Day-Day, I said, I'm curious, how will Carl approach this? Because, I mean, it's not a game seven, but it did create a chance to knock out the Pistons.
Yeah. I don't think this is over.
Who gives a harder matchup for the Knicks?
I think the Pistons.
I thought the Pistons, but if Doran goes into this disappearing act, we talk about Jalen Johnson. That's kind of what Doran is. I mean, Jalen at least showed up on the score sheet, but big moments where Doran is just MIA.
Let me tell you this, Mike, and if it plays out this way, I told you so. The Knicks and the way they play will take James Harden completely out of this thing. I'm just telling you. Spider will get his.
Right.
Right? Harden will be completely absent because of the way the Knicks play defensively.
And they play, you saw it. Lockdown, you can't get a shot.
He'll be a turnover machine.
Correct.
Okay?
And he still is. Yes, yes.
Look, with all that said, I still think Detroit gives them a better matchup. But we'll see. They now have to win two in a row. And last night, what was interesting that this game turned the way it did. Everything was going Detroit's way. They had a 15-point lead.
They blew it.
Yeah, they should have won the game last night. Meanwhile, PGA Championship's underway.
Yes. I don't know anybody on the leaderboard.
Well, look, this is going to be interesting this weekend, and I think it's wide open for all of the stars, all right? And right now, to Mike's point, none of the names that you expect at the top of this leaderboard are there.
Early.
Correct.
Aldrich Potgieter. Potgieter, if you're South Africa, I guess it'd be Aldrich Potgieter, diplomatic immunity. Stefan Jaeger, as in Jaegermeister. Oh, Min-Woo Lee, we know.
Yes, we do.
Luke Donald is tied for fifth. Right now, the leader is only just 300. Ashke Bacha. Not a lot of big names. Xander Schauffele is just a shot back right now.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm trying to find names you'd recognize. Jordan Spieth is two strokes back. Justin Thomas, two strokes back right now as well. Jason Day, he finished just two strokes back, one under. So there's some names, but at the top, tippy top, who are those guys?
A lot of guys finishing even for the day.
Yep. Koepka finished one under.
Including what's going on with Scotty Scheffler.
Right.
Everybody's picking him because he's had these runner up. Right. And everybody's saying Scotty's gonna eventually win this weekend. We'll see. But right. Mike.
He's only averaged, I saw it today on the Golf Channel, 77th in the PGA in first round scoring. So he's not getting off to the big start he needs.
It's true. And then he's chasing. And he gets close, but then, you know, you're putting in a lot of work to try to make
more
ground.
Morikawa, even par. Georgia Boy, Russell Henley, even par. Ricky Fowler, even par, finished today. So there you go. Brian Harman, he was even par. So Patrick Reed, there's some of the names. But it's the tippy top of the leaderboard. I'm like, huh? Who? What?
Yeah. All right. We'll keep you updated with our leaderboard throughout the course of the afternoon and, of course, tomorrow as well. It's Dukes and Bell. Speaking of tomorrow. Guys, we're out. Twin Peaks, come on out and join us for a live broadcast. Buckhead will be there from 2 until 6, gearing up for the big weekend. You can enjoy all the eats, drinks, scenic views, along with all the things that are going on at Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow, right here on Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm kind of jonesing for one of Raina's Mezcal Old Fashions, you know?
Those are good.
You know what, Day-Day, when was the last time you had a Mezcal Old Fashioned, man?
It wasn't an Old Fashioned, but I had a Mezcal last week.
Hey, that's what I like to hear.
Straight?
Hmm?
Straight?
I don't know. It was
drinking mezcal straight.
I mean it was themed.
Okay,
it was a themed mezcal.
Some people like it that way, man.
This one, I can't remember what it was called, but it was more of a smoky. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. All right, man, let's get on it.
Yeah, most of them are, and it depends on that. For some folks, it can be overwhelming. What's up, Bo?
I gotta address something here, gentlemen.
What, man?
Carl, you did something earlier that I noticed, and I gotta bring it to the table real quick.
What's up, bro?
When JD was here, you had a certain look about you.
I look good?
No,
you're not wearing your glasses.
You had those glasses on. Yeah, he had the glasses on.
Sometimes I forget.
And he took them off.
I can definitely wear them. I sometimes forget because
of
my vision,
you had them
man.
On, though, man, because they look kind of cool, Carl, in here with JD.
Oh, wait a minute. You think they do?
I'm just saying.
Keep complimenting you.
Now that you bring it up. Now that you bring it up. Yeah, you're styling and profiling.
I'm going to put them on for you. There we go.
Those are the frames of the
day. And by the way, these are prescription too, O. All right,
I'm just saying,
crap you guys gave me on television.
I looked up and I was like, Carl got his cool guy shades on talking to JD right now.
Yeah, these
you look like an influencer.
Thank you. These are not super dark. You can see through these. These are not super dark. They're not bad. So I can use these in and outdoors. So I totally, honestly, dude, I drive and I'm getting the car and I get upstairs, whatever.
Yeah. No, but, you're being a player.
But you know what? I just put them back on for you, O.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't have to put them back on for me.
No. I'm wearing them for you now.
It feels like you had them on
earlier. You were trying to impress Jermaine Dupri.
No, man. Come on. I'm too old for that. I was about to cuss. No, man. I'm too old for that. Come on, bro. 404-726-0929. They are on if you want to go check us out, all right? We don't talk about it, but we are on YouTube a lot. You can see us there, all right?
Yeah, man. No, it was funny, and we said we had this conversation because he got in right before as Andy and Randy wrapped up, so we had about 5 or 6 minutes or longer to talk to Jermaine about everything, and we were joking around about social media and stuff, and I told him what happened to me with my
He thought it was funny, too.
He's like, what happened? I go, my Twitter account got hijacked to China or Japan or somewhere. Don't know. And again, by the way, I'll tell you later in Guy Talk how you can follow me, because I've gone from, let's see here, I've gone from 41,000 followers to 2. I got to start basically from zero, brand new account.
You're going to get that up in no time.
You betcha. Well, again, it's all up to you listeners. Right now, though, people like DJ Shockley and others are following this website, this Twitter account that is not me. You know, Zach Klein is following. You're getting updates on like something with politicians in Hong Kong. It says nothing to do with me.
You know what's funny is, for those who don't know, might be like, man, Mike's on one.
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking right now.
Excuse me? Yeah, I mean, there's stuff going on right now. And again, it all started with a click. Oren sent a link, and I talked to a buddy of mine. No, again, Oren, you're off the hook, kind of. But I talked to a buddy of mine who works for the FBI up in New York, and he does more on the accounting side, forensic accounting, but he's got a lot of expertise with the internet and IT. And he was telling me, yeah, somebody had your password. Your password's one of your passwords, and your emails are probably on the dark web. And to get into my Twitter account was probably the same password, and that's how they got it. And so he said it takes more. There's a few steps to go to. Sure. It's not as simple as that.
Sure.
So then today, you know, guys, even missed the show yesterday. Literally, I lost everything. My Twitter account got hacked. You got to reset everything. You know, your bank, credit cards, all your passwords, everything. New emails, all that. You know, that's time consuming. It's a pain in the butt. But anyway, that's what I did today.
No, man, it's a lot.
And Jermaine's like, so you 41 out the door. I go, yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's like, well, to China. I go, somewhere.
Well, he was talking about the fact that, you know, we complain about customer service, and this is not a shot at X.
Right.
This is just generally speaking. But, you know, we talk about when you call customer service for any company, you're usually not talking to a person now. You're talking to some bot or some AI that wants to lead you to somewhere. And even when you get a person on the line, you still may have to wait forever to do that. And then they may not even be able to help you. So that's part of it. He was like, man, you're trying to talk to a robot about something that it's got to contact somebody else about. Either way.
And the thing that the lady that stole my account has changed names again. So this thing keeps changing names like a daily basis. So I have no idea what the hell's going on, but it ain't me.
Oh, I know what's going on. Professionals.
It ain't me.
That's what's going on. Yeah. That thing's changing like every other hour. All right, man, coming up 4th and 1, we will talk about what else is going on around the league and reports that are out there. Also, we are going to start our tour around the SEC, and Coach Clark Lee is going to join us today, Vanderbilt's head coach. We'll ask him about his quarterback, former quarterback, who's now getting a shot with the Ravens. But, Mike, We said this. They used to be the doormat of the league. I don't feel that way anymore. Vandy is competitive.
Right.
But how do they stay that way?
How do they still, you know, again, there was a lot of hype, and we'll get into it with Clark Lee, but, you know, having a 10-win season, a quarterback that, you know, even though he was going to a school, high school in the Nashville area, he was supposed to be linked to Georgia.
That's right.
And then sort of some, it seemed like in the 11th hour, again, I don't follow recruiting as much as some Georgia fans do, but he goes and switches and commits to Vandy, but the money. And well, I'm curious how much he wants to talk about it. He's also a coach who's on record, like some SEC coaches, the conversations you and I have had with Mike Griffith about we're going to lose a lot of tradition. It's just the way of the world now with this expanded playoff and how the college football landscape has shifted.
Yeah, look, I think you either swim or sink. And to swim, you got to create more money. And that's just what this is. All right, Clark Lee's on the way. That's going to happen in the 3 o'clock hour. We will continue to talk about our Braves, guys, because nobody's playing better right now.
Red hot.
First team to 30 wins. But when we come back, it's all things NFL, including a couple of other schedule leaks that are already out there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.